It's Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas to all. This evening's scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, and the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Today's message is titled, This is Christ the King. Hear from the prophet Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future will honor Galilee of the Gentiles, by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people, walking in darkness, have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Here ends the first lesson. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The Gospel of our Lord. grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Faithful Father, your word has sustained generations of the faithful through darkness, despair, and confusion. Come and bless us by your Holy Spirit as we gather to celebrate the incarnate light of life, the birth of Christ, the Savior of the world. As good news was proclaimed in the darkness of night, so speak your word to us again tonight. As peace on earth was proclaimed to the shepherds abiding their sheep on the hillsides, so grant your peace to us wherever we find ourselves residing this evening, this most holy night. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas. Yes, Merry Christmas to you this night. Even though this night is not all that we had hoped for or desired to be, even with the challenges of the coronavirus impacting all we do, that virus cannot take the merry out of this moment, out of our hearts. That is, unless you let it do so. Many are not traveling as planned or desired or hoped. Very few are having Christmas with family as family traditions have been of years past innumerable. How many will be using Zoom or FaceTime or some other technology to be close to family this Christmas? Like the technology of the 1960s cartoon, The Jetsons, it has come real and we can visit, chat, face to face in real time. Yet, it's not the same as face to face with those very special loved ones at Christmas. The I love you hugs of mom or I love you hug of dad or grandma or grandpa or cousins or all those special moments when you can be together. Believers, along with non-believers, our behaviors are impacted, influenced as this time of year rolls around. Look all around and see how many places, at a minimum, say season's greetings or happy holidays. How many houses and yards are decorated this time of year, too? What has caused this time of year to be affected in such manner? Did Macy's sit in his corner office on 34th Street years ago declare it to be so? There has to be some place, some event, something happened in time, in history, that set in motion this night. The reason we gather to worship, the reason others do these other things with lights and holiday greetings. Consider your birthday. You celebrate your birthday because of the historical event of your birth. There is a reason you have cake and a reason each year more and more candles atop your cake till the time of having a fire extinguisher nearby caused because of the enormous flames from dozens upon dozens of candles all ablaze at once. Or consider other celebrations that you have marked on your calendar. More than likely, a historical event is being noted on your calendar to make sure you don't forget. This time of year, there are two historical events that really happened. One event happened in Jerusalem. It was the year 165 BC. Yes, 165 before Christ. After Judas Maccabee, leading a small band of faithful Jews, drove out the Greek army. The second temple was then rededicated to the service of God. When they set up the temple's menorah, that seven-branched lampstand, only enough sacred oil was found to fill and light the menorah for only a day. Miraculously, the menorah burned for 8 days with that one day's supply of sacred oil. 8 days, enough days for new sacred oil to be prepared for worship. Hanukkah is rooted in an actual historical event. And this night, the reason we gather here is to mark a historical event. No matter what the naysayers say or unbelievers and doubters say, this night marks the real birth of a real baby boy, just as Scripture says, Luke chapter 2, beginning of verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The Scriptures are witness testimony. What Luke states in this chapter, he writes from careful and meticulous investigation of the events. Luke writes in an orderly fashion, carefully laying out what happened. Luke investigated and writes in this manner, so that you may know with certainty these things really did happen. Listen to Luke's own words he wrote in Scripture, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Luke writes, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." Did you hear that? Know the certainty. Know without teetering or wavering or tottering. These things Luke records are solid and sure. That's what Luke's saying, writing here. They're solid and sure. Even with all those fantastic testimonies about angels and the wonders of the words the angels spoke. Like the angel Gabriel speaking to Zechariah that he would have a son and name him John. For John will prepare the way. Then the wonder of Elizabeth in her old age with child. As Zechariah is speechless for 9 months till that moment, he said, declaring his name will be John. The angel Gabriel speaking to Mary, declaring she will be with child and will give him the name Jesus. A name that means Yahweh saves. It means Yahweh is salvation. A boy, the Holy One to be born, will be called the Son of God. How? By the mysterious and awesome power of the Most High, a child born who is fully God and fully man. With tonight's cold weather, it feels like we're out in the fields with the shepherds trying to keep watch and trying to keep warm as we watch the sheep. Then that wonder of the angel of the Lord appearing, and the glory of the Lord shining about them. Luke records the testimony of this event. Luke chapter 2, beginning of verse 8. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" And that is exactly what the shepherds found in a manger, found in that feeding trough. They found a baby boy wrapped in swaddling clothes. Do you know what this means? Do you know what it really means? It means that everything else the angel said is true. This is good news for all the people. This day a Savior has been born. This baby is Christ the Lord. Have you ever noticed that two of the Gospels, the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of John, do not really have any references to Jesus' birth. That does not mean he was not born. Rather, these Gospels record things from the years of Jesus' ministry, his preaching, his teaching, and healing. But for Jesus to have these adult years walking in the wilderness and wandering from town to town teaching and preaching, Jesus had to have had a childhood, a time of being an infant, depending on a mother and a father, a birth, as Matthew and Luke record. For Jesus is as human as you and I, and like us, he was born a baby, just as the shepherd found in the manger that night in Bethlehem. Yet at the same time, this baby's not like us, for his conception was in the mystery of God becoming human, and at the same time, remaining fully divine, fully God. How can we put into terms what actually took place? We try with the word incarnation. God, holy God, becomes human and yet is fully God. In the adult years, those ministry years, with the wonders of his words and the signs Jesus performed, it draws our attention. And that's what brought Luke to carefully investigate the truth of it all. Specifically, Jesus crucified and risen. The reality of the risen Christ after being cruelly crucified on a cross. It's the pivot point. That is what draws us this night to a lowly birth in the town of Bethlehem. For this child would grow into the man who not only claimed to be one with the Father, Jesus demonstrated that he indeed was one with the Father, with the proof in the pudding being Jesus rose from the dead. J.R.R. Tolkien says of Jesus, "It takes a fantastic will to unbelief to suppose that Jesus never really happened, and more to suppose that he did not say the things recorded of him, so incapable of being invented by anyone in the world at that time. We must therefore either believe in him and in what he has said and take the consequences, or reject him and take the consequences." In other words, Tolkien saying, these words of Jesus recorded in the scripture are so fantastic that only God could be the source of such sayings. We must believe in him and what he said. Remember when Jesus heals the paralytic as written and recorded in Luke chapter 5? I begin at verse 21 of Luke chapter 5, verse 21. "The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, 'Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, 'Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or say, get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.' Jesus said to the paralyzed man, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home.' Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what had been lying on, and went home praising God." Remember also the time when Jesus speaks of the sign of Jonah. This is recorded in Luke chapter 11. And the sign of Jonah is, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, Jesus would be in the belly of the earth for 3 days. Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah, and Jesus is greater than Jonah. On and on it is written, so forth through the scriptures you find the words of Jesus, and these words draw us to him. That is, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. When Jesus rose on the third day, he appeared to his disciples and told them. It is recorded in Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 44. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. There is good news of the Savior that brings great joy, as the angel proclaimed, and that good news is repentance and forgiveness preached in his name to all nations. As Martin Luther has said, no other God have I but thee, born in a manger, died on a tree. This is the reason What Child Is This is one of my favorite Christmas carols. For there in the second verse we sing these words, nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. Christmas. Christmas takes us right to the crucifixion, for this is why this baby was born. As the angel proclaimed, the baby was born to be Savior. So in the midst of all these uncertainties that are swirling around us these days, there is one, yes, there's one to turn to for hope, peace, joy, and love. One to turn to for healing grace and healing mercy. That is the baby born in Bethlehem. His name is Jesus. He is no figment of imagination. And more as I get older, the more and more I am convinced the historical record clearly demonstrates Jesus is the Savior. What child is this? The song asks. Who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping. And then answers with boldness and certainty of conviction. Answers this. This is Christ the King. The shepherds were given a sign, and they found this sign, the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes in the manger. It happened, it's true. And so the words that the angel proclaimed are absolutely true. This baby born is the Savior, is the Savior, and is our great joy. What child is this? This is Christ the King. Amen and amen.